Luke chapter 6. You guys don't know it, but I got my own personal little fan here. It's about this big.
Yeah, you do too. Huh?
Luke chapter 6. Going through the sermon that Jesus was preaching here. Luke chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 39. Go to verse 45 today. 39. Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they both not fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, is a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this section in which Jesus was giving the ones who wanted to be his disciples, wanted to follow him, he was giving them instruction on their life. And they had ample opportunity to point at someone else, but Lord God, he wanted them to recognize the fallacy of so many things in this sermon. But Father, the fallacy that was in part of their life in thinking that they were righteous enough without him, without the truth. Help us, Lord, to glean from this, to recognize the importance of following the truth and following those who know the truth. Lord God, we love you. We honor your name. Through Christ we pray. Amen. I do want to mention that we had a great time last week on vacation. I really appreciate the opportunity to be gone, to get down there. We had the whole family, so it was fun. And Red to take over. I appreciate that so much. He preached last week for me, so I deeply appreciate it. But it was great. It was a really good week. Just had a good time. We, being in Luke the writer, wrote about the humanity of God, or Christ, how he was 100% man. His purpose in writing was to detail it, to make sure of the details. He was a doctor. He wanted to make sure that the details were correct, that others would see this in his life. So he talked about the births of John and of Jesus and his ministries, the power that went out from Jesus, how Jesus chose 12 out of the many disciples that he had. He chose 12. But then after he did that, he came down from the mountain, or on the mount, or halfway, or wherever. If this is the same sermon that's in Matthew, then it was on the mount somewhere. If it's not, then it's very similar, so we compare it in many ways. But he was with many of his disciples, and he was speaking to them. He was actually preaching this sermon for the people who wanted him to become the Messiah, or to be the Messiah, or wanted him to become a king, a physical king, and to take over and to defeat Rome, to get him out of there. So he had to set them straight, basically. He needed to give them the truth, and give them the truth in such a way where they could reflect on their own life. So a lot of this is a reflection for them, so that they can see the issues going on. And part of this that we're even talking about today is, we've already looked at the kingdom love, the Beatitudes. He started with the Beatitudes. We've looked at that. The fact of how to love. He's talked about how, that unconditional type love. He set a perfect standard with all of this. so that they can recognize that they don't have it, so that they can see that they need a Savior. That was one of his, I believe, one of the strongest aspects of this sermon. But the last time we were talking about it, Jesus was talking about not judging, and he goes on and illustrates that and another aspect today. Because the illustration is in the form of a parable. If you look at verse 39, said, and he spoke a parable to them. Now, a parable, the meaning of a parable was to be beside of. That's what the word means. And it carries the aspect of a shadow. So if you ever stood out in a sunny day and you saw your shadow, well, it's similar to you. It's not you, all right? Your shadow is not you, but it's similar. It can kind of show something about you. And that's what a parable is. It's to show something about what was talking about. It has a practical way to understand a spiritual or a hidden truth or a hard truth. It's a practical way to understand it. It helps us understand by what we can see something that we cannot see. In a lot of this, we need to remember the culture he was in when he gave these parables. And later on, that'll be even more important. But we'll get to that later on. But the main thing you want to remember in a parable is that you keep it within the context that it's in. And you don't derive doctrine from parables, right? The purpose of a parable was not to give out, was not to form your doctrine. It's to help you to understand something that Jesus was talking about, or it was widely used by the rabbis in those days. They used parables quite a bit to help people understand or to illustrate something. But you just don't want to get doctrine from it, because a parable you can use in several different ways. If I expressed in a parable the importance in a house of having a good roof, I could do that as a carpenter. I could express that in a parable. Well, someone else can come and express in a parable the importance of having a good foundation. Now, without a good roof, your foundation is going to crumble. But without a good foundation, you're not going to have a good roof. You're not going to have a roof. All right, so the both are important, but the emphasis will be on one or the other. And if you take the, if you would just listen to me and say about the roof, well, then you're not taking the foundation, the importance of that. So it's not that you build doctrine off the parable. You take the context that the parable is in, whatever context it's in, and you derive the point that was trying to be made, especially by Jesus, the point that he's seeking to be made. So there's an aspect of the parables that we need to understand. It may illustrate doctrinal truth, but it's not where we draw our doctrinal truth from. So there's the parable. And that's what it is. I think this is like one of his first parables. He's starting in talking about parables. Now, later on, we're going to see why. But here, he wants to illustrate something. He says in verse 39, he spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they both not fall in a pit? This was a common problem at that time. Very common, blindness. And the pit aspect of it, they didn't have the... Everything was hand, right? So they didn't have the steamrollers to make a smooth ride or a smooth road. Everything was done manually. So there were many pits. There were many problems with the walking, with the roads. And what he's saying is, look, if someone blind is trying to lead someone else as blind, they're both going to fall into the same problems, same pit, same issues. Now, he has just talked about loving. In the last several verses, he has just talked about being merciful, but he's recently just talked about judging. And what we learn, if we compare this with Matthew chapter 7, I believe it's verses 15 through 21 or something, 20. Matthew 7, 15 through 20, we see some of the same things that he talks about here. One of them specifically is the fruit. The tree and the fruit. And what he refers to in Matthew chapter 7 is the false prophets or the false teachers that were there. So if we take that, take it over and compare scripture here, what we're looking at, I think what he's talking about is be careful who you follow. be careful who you follow. Whether they're good, good speaker, whatever it is, be careful who you follow. And in this day specifically, I believe he's pointing out the problems with the religious system that is there, that was set in place. Remember, the people, the disciples, the ones who were wanting to be his disciples, wanting to follow him, wanted him to be a physical king. Pharisees had a problem with this because it was stirring up problem and it was messing up their religious system. And the Sadducees had the same problem. I mean, the whole governmental religious system had a problem with them, and that's what got him on the cross. I mean, that's not what the reason he went, but that was the motivation behind them. So there was a problem building. And Jesus was wanting to point out, you know what, you have a religious system, you have ones that you follow, but you be careful who you follow. And he says that the blind, if a blind man leads another blind man, there's problems. You're going to have a pit in front of you, and you're both going to fall in the same pit. He's pointing out the judgmental, remember, keep it in context, the judgmental part of it. Now, the Pharisees were the main ones to judge. They loved to look for problems in other people. Jesus would have been the perfect one to follow, but his words were not what they expected from a Messiah. I think he was surprising them more and more. And that's why more and more, a lot of his disciples stopped following him. We'll see that later on in his life. But he was not living up to their expectations as a Messiah. But most likely this is a reference to those who judge opposite of the way Jesus just referred to, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and even the people there. Very popular people, very popular rabbis or teachers. But the point here is be careful who you follow. Look at the next verse, because he gives several illustrations of this. Next verse is a pupil in verse 40. A pupil is not above the teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Not above the teacher. In other words, they still need to be trained by, or they still are being trained by the teacher. So the teacher still has something to input into that person. Basically, he's telling them, you are going to learn from the one who is your teacher, who you put yourself under to learn from. Again, be careful who you follow. The people wanted to follow Jesus because of his miracles and because of their expectations for him. They wanted to follow him because they expected something from him. Problem is who they were following at that point, at that time, the religious leaders they were following, because they would learn from them. And according to this verse, according to verse 40, after he has been fully trained, he will be like his teachers. They were going to be exactly like them. And it goes to another illustration. Look at the next one, because this is a little bit longer. Why did you look, verse 41, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Notice the comparison he gives here. The speck and the log. It's amazing. The implications here, but he uses a speck. He says, why do you look at the speck in someone else's eye? And by a brother, he's not talking about fellow Christian here, okay? Remember, he's not talking to a group of Christians. He's talking to a group of Israelites who wanted him to take over and defeat Rome and make Israel great again. They were willing to give up whatever their business. They wanted, in fact, the disciples themselves that he chose wanted to help rule. They wanted to be part of this kingdom. They wanted, even up till the night before he was before he died, they were still wanting to, arguing about who would be greatest. So this mindset was very permanent here, or very prevalent. And Jesus was trying to help them recognize the fallacy in their own heart. He says, "You look at why do you look at the speck when you've got a log?" So look at the comparison, because a speck literally was a little splinter or a piece of straw, something very, very small. And the log literally was a beam that they used in their homes to hold something up. And we're talking about a huge, massive beam here. So he's saying, look, why are you trying to fix something in someone else when you don't even recognize what you've got going on here? Look at the next verse. Verse 42. Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll be you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. The Pharisees, especially the system of the Pharisees, were always a condemning system based on the law that they couldn't keep themselves, and they were always seeking to judge, seeking to do exactly what he has just said not to do as far as following him. So they're part of their, I don't know what you call it, their legitimacy was to try and seek to help somebody else not sin when they couldn't even recognize the sin in their own life. Always out to spot failure in the others. And that really was the beam that was in their own eye. But they were out to spot the failure in the others, not recognizing the failure that they had themselves. He says, you hypocrites, one who was not seeing his own sin. And remember, the Pharisees were the spiritual leaders. And he's not, I don't think he's just speaking totally against the Pharisees here. He's also talking to the disciples that wanted to follow him. He's talking about their own life. They had the tendency towards pride, tendency towards self-righteousness, and seeking to help others or wanting to help someone out of whatever issue or sin that they saw, and yet not recognizing what was in their own eye, basically. I'll talk about, there's one other aspect here, and I think it's better if we look at the trees. But what we're talking about here in the aspect of the log and the splinter is, again, watch who you follow. Because if he's saying, look, you're following someone that says, hey, you've got a little problem, and not even recognizing the huge, massive problem that they own have, that they have themselves of sin. The log that is in the beam that is in their own life, that of self-righteousness. So that's where he's seeking to help them on that, and he calls them straight out, you hypocrites. Let's go on to the fruit. The fruit of the tree, the next aspect to it. Look at verse 43. Yes, verse 43. For there is no good fruit which produces bad, I'm sorry, there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. So the fruit of the tree, the followers could see the true fruit produced by self-righteousness. Again, he's taught. All right, what type of standard has he been setting up this whole sermon? He set up a perfect standard. And the reason I believe he's setting up this perfect standard, because this group of disciples or people or followers who wanted him to become a physical king, wanted to make Israel prominent again, they wanted to do that because they believed they were the only blessed people of God, Israel. That they were the only ones, they were the head nation, that they were the only ones that had God, that they should be in charge. In other words, they had become extremely proud. What's happened for the last 400 years before? 400 years, longer than we've been a nation. There's been no prophet from God. There's been nothing coming from God. Their history was rich in what God had produced in them and what God had produced in Israel. And they were taking that and giving it to themselves and saying, hey, look, we must be really righteous. We must be really good. You see the pride that comes from that? The self-righteousness that comes from that? And they were taking that and utilizing that in their own life and saying, well, we're good enough. Now, we want you to be the Messiah because you're feeding us, because you're helping us, because you're healing, because of all these powers you have, we want you to come and make us great physically. But they weren't thinking spiritually yet. And Jesus was helping them understand that, you know what? Even in a physical realm, you haven't got it yet. You haven't got it figured out yet. Said, look, if you're following the blind guide, you're both gonna fall into a pit. You're blind following the blind. If you what was the next illustration? A pupil. If you're learning from someone, you're gonna be just like them. Do you recognize the self-righteousness? Do you recognize the pride? You're gonna end up just like them if that's who you're learning from. He says, you're following someone who wants to help you take that speck out of your eye, and they've got a beam. Or you are seeking to help someone to make them better, and yet you've got this beam in your own eye of self-righteousness. And he goes on to this, the good tree, there's no good tree which produces bad fruit. In other words, look at the fruit of the one you're following. Watch the fruit. Look at their life. That's what he's saying. Saying, recognize how they live. Look at some of the words here. It says, for each tree is known by its fruit. The word known is the word gnosko. It's a growing knowledge. It's an experiential knowledge. He's not saying, well, you're going to just automatically know. You're just going to intuitively know the righteous one. He says, look at their fruit. Each tree is known, is experienced in what fruit they produce. He says, you look at their life. Is it righteous fruit? Is it unrighteous? Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? He says, each one is known in what it produces. The word produces is a participle. It's on an ongoing basis. What it continually produces. Not just once, but continually. The continual life production. In verse 44, says, for each tree is known by its own. Its own means unique, something very unique to it. Actions, attitudes. Known. Oh, look at the end of 44 there, where it says, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from briar bush. The good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth what is evil. For with the mouth speaks what fills the heart. I'm sorry, it's 43. It's 43. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known. There it is. I already said that, didn't I? Gnosko, to known. For each tree is known by its own fruit. The aspect of that being known, it's also a passive. Each tree is known. In other words, what's fun about this is the people could not hide their sin. They were known. Even the Pharisees, even the Sadducees, they could try. They wanted the people to view them a certain way. But he says each tree is known. It's a growing gnosko type knowledge, but each tree is known in a passive way. So what the tree is wanting the people to know, or what the person that is wanting to lead wants the people to know, isn't what is really known. In other words, you're transparent. They were transparent. They were trying to give off the right signals, and yet their life was proof of who they really were. And he explains this parable. He explains it in 45. The good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth what is good. The good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Again, Jesus takes it from a physical issue down to a spiritual heart issue. And he says, listen, be careful who you follow. You look at a tree. Look at something very practical. This is the parable aspect of it. Look at the very practical. A good tree is not going to produce bad fruit. Bad tree doesn't consistently produce good fruit. Good tree doesn't consistently produce bad fruit. Look at their life. Look at their life. Be careful who you follow is what he's saying. Because there were many at that time and in his audience who were self-righteous, wanting Christ to be king so that they could have a part of it, so that they could be part of it. There was much of that going on. So he says, listen to them, because out of a good man out of his heart, out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. Now, who was a good man who had a good heart? Those who had God, Christ. I mean, those are... what makes us good today? Christ giving us a new heart. When we have a new heart, then we have the good treasures that come into a new heart. Right? So the aspect of the good man and the evil, what they say comes from their heart. So it becomes very evident. Their fruit becomes evident. Their life becomes evident. So I think here, as he is giving this warning, it's a warning of watching, being careful who you follow. Being careful to look at the fruit in the life of who you are listening to, who you are reading, who you are listening on the radio to, or whoever. In our life, that's how we can apply it. In their life, they were wanting Christ. They were wanting him for the wrong reason. They were wanting him for a selfish reason. They were wanting him for a physical reason, not a spiritual reason. They weren't seeing him in the spiritual light that he was truly in. So he's saying, be careful who you follow. Watch their life. Watch their fruit. Many will judge, but not want others to look at their own life. Jesus is pointing out the hypocrisy of these religious leaders and making the self-righteous evident. He, again, is setting a perfect standard. Now, why is he doing this? Why is he setting up a perfect standard? He's using the law to set up a perfect standard because these people needed to recognize their deficiency without Christ. They needed to see that they were deficient without Jesus Christ. And that was a lot of his point. He's destroying their image of a physical Messiah. So then it comes down to a question. I mean, he's saying... watch who you follow. And I think this is a good admonition for us today. Be careful who you follow. Even me. Watch who you follow or who you read or look at their fruit. Look at their aspect, the aspect of their life. And make sure that whoever it is following the Word of God or is seeking the Word of God or is using the Word of God rightly, truthfully. We have a standard. That perfect standard is Christ. And he has given us truth in his word. We have the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit in us, guiding us, leading us through his word. But how do we view God sometimes? Sometimes we view God as a physical helper. Well, we go to God when there's problems. We go to God when there's troubles. Instead of recognizing that God is prevailing, he's in our life always. He seeks to lead us, to guide us always. And we can have that. It's very hard to hide your true fruit for too long. Who do we need? We look at God as sometimes as physical, but who is? He's one who has given us a Savior. He's one who has given us everything we need, who accomplished this perfect standard for us. It wasn't us doing the perfect standard. Jesus wasn't setting up a standard for us to try and live by. He was showing us the perfect standard, which he accomplished. Because isn't it great? Everything that he talked about, he accomplished. Make sure who you follow is devoted to the truth of God's word. Watch them, learn from them, either rightly or wrongly. But trust the Spirit within you. Trust God's word. Check everything with God's word. If you do not have the Holy Spirit within you, I would love to show you from God's word how you can. He can be your guide. You can have Christ in you, which is our hope of salvation. If you've not trusted in Christ, please talk to me. I'd love to show you how you can have a relationship with him. If you have, watch who you follow. Watch who you listen to. Look at their life. Look at them. Not just the outward of, not just what they say, but look at their true life. Look at who they were. You can't hide your fruit. You're going to show who you truly are. And whether you're living for God's word, whether you're living for truth, or whether you're living for yourself. Be careful who you follow. Follow Jesus Christ. He has set himself up as the perfect standard because he accomplished He accomplished everything he's talking about. He accomplished on the cross, and he went to the cross anyway, and he died for us. So he is that perfect standard. He has done it for us. Follow him. Trust in him. Let's close in prayer.